It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
My God, everyone, welcome to Saturday Draft Live. We're in season 14, which in wrestling terms means we have entered the Draftitude era. Who will stand atop this mental period of our lives? Who will end the season as our Stone Cold Steve Austin? And who will just make so many shit decisions that they will ultimately be declared our Vince Russo? So many questions and more will not be answered today. But what we can determine is who, at this early stage on paper, has truly already fucked it for themselves in terms of the draft selection. I am Scott McLeod. I am looking forward to hopefully joining the club of three-time draft winners. Unfortunately, the man who hosted our selection show this past Monday and the man who already is a three-time draft winner, Jack Graham, has elected to do something that I've heard rumoured he rarely does, and that's pull out, as he cannot unfortunately be on the show today because he's a fucking arsehole and he's neglecting his responsibilities, because now that he's a three-time winner, he thinks he's big time all of a sudden for this kind of show. But that's fine. We have a man who we always know one thing about him, and that is come rain, sleet, shine, or something to do with chickens, he will be there. Will his picks always be there? Remains to be seen. It's Ryan Dalglish.
How are you doing, Scott?
It's good to have you back again, Ryan. But I've heard, speaking of Jack Graham, you have been elected to do something that Jack was apparently incapable of doing this past Monday.
And do you know what? Depends how this show goes, I might not be doing it either. You want me to do it now?
Yeah, we might.
I didn't realise that was my cue. Bear with me. Get the memoirs out. Hear ye, hear ye. This is a message from your good old David here, who's, you know, the part-timer. Decided not to draft this season, but anyway, we'll ignore that. The message goes as this. Hear ye, hear ye. As you may have noticed, my draft performance in the previous season has been below the standards I have set as the West End Country Club, and below the standards of my overall ranking in the ESSR draft as a whole. As a two-time draft winner, once a singles and once in the tag team seasons, I have established myself as one of the most revered competitors in the history of this draft, with the majority of times finishing in the top half of the table. This time around was a different story. I'm ashamed to have finished so low down the table alongside the LL charity case and way below the work experience point that is Ryan Dalglish. I made some team decisions that were bold, but given the position of the drawing last, it was a challenge to begin with. The last season was a long one, and it proved to be my undoing. I take responsibility for all my team-related decisions and accept that it was poor performance this time around. In light of this result, I have decided to take a step back from the participating of the draft this coming season to regroup, reevaluate, and rebuild the West End Country Club to its high standards, as well as to take as much needed vacation. He had to drop that in, didn't he? I will continue to co-host SDL with the other guys to offer an impartial viewpoint into our participants' team this season, because let's be honest, they may need a big brain to add some analytical integrity. So that's where things stand. At the moment, I cannot participate in the stream as I am on a boat in Croatia with a drink in my hand and the topping off my tan. Heading to the island of Var this evening where the place is full of celebrities, super yachts and the world famous beach clubs. Any ideal setting for the founder of the West End Country Club, if I do say so. Anywho, enjoy your draft selection show as I'm getting completely and utterly car parked tonight. See you soon on the best ESSR show available, SDL. Wish yous were there, get up yous. Easy for me to say.
Right, has anyone ever told you have a career in reading audiobooks?
my childhood stammer nearly come back there, and that was a bloody long
surprise.
Oh god,
I'm here. Yes,
hear ye.
Honestly, Ryan, that was a very poor effort. You know, with the stammering throughout. Like, you've not raised the bar very well as a full time host this time around.
Do you know what, Hockney? You've not been here for a month. You should be happy I fucking did it in the first place.
I mean, honest to God, I go away for a well-deserved 1 month's vacation and I come back to this. It's literally a lot of stuff has changed.
Were you not away for like 10 days and you've not been on a show in a month?
Yeah, I've not been on a show in a month because the first half of that was basically wallowing in my very poor performance last season and the other half was basically getting a much-needed vacation.
Poor me.
So, anybody who's missed it, let me fill you in. David, yes, is not competing this season. It was mentioned in the statement, but he probably already fell asleep by the time Brian got to that bit. He's not competing this season, but he will be still providing his brand of analysis here on SDL. So, like many critics out there, he is commenting on something that he himself cannot do. And he's just back from Croatia, where his tan has went from, you know, the shade of white of the ghost of Christmas past, and now he's looking something more of the white shade of the ghost of Christmas future. So, still white, but he's getting there. He'll tan one of these days.
Hey, listen, if I compared my tan to yours, I think we'd know who's definitely got the better skin tone at the minute.
I'd rather not compare tans right now. Thank you very much. keep your shirts on around me, Mr. Faulkner.
Come back next week for the live show.
Yeah. Saturday Draft Live only fans.
Tonight.
I say, I don't get my tap bath for free. Anyway, it's a unique show, this first one of the season. Usually it is because it's all of us looking back at the teams, both ours and everybody else's, and providing our brand of analysis. But we got a little bit extra to give you because, like I said on Monday, we're like an over-anxious, you know, baby face where we decided we don't need to wait until a pay-per-view to start the scoring. We're going to do it right now. And I was going to ask you guys, I know, David, you weren't there, but your thoughts on how this has kind of worked out, the idea of, like, you know, giving it a bit more time, let everybody see how the landscape, you know, shakes out after, you know, SummerSlam, the finale of the previous season, where it was never in doubt that the outcome would be Jack winning, but it gives a chance to look at some potential main hitters for the following season. And then it did, well, we would take stuff into account for the Monday that night. So people were making choices based on that. Some people were picking champ. I think he would retain. Some people thought Lashley. Mm-hmm. I think he would win. Some people thought Lashley would retain. And we know how that worked out. And, you know, I think it led to some picks that had we recorded that selection show sooner wouldn't have happened. Like, if we'd recorded that, like, just a few days after SummerSlam, like, Karrion Kross would not be anywhere near that, but all of a sudden, with a week to reflect, suddenly Karrion Kross is a must-have pick.
I mean, you literally turned a really simple question to a very long, confusing paraphrase there. But yeah, I've been watching SummerSlam and the end of the season quite closely. I mean, there was no doubt Jack was going to win, all because of, you know, the cheat code that is Tony, that is Big Tony. Yeah, that's how we'll just call him now. But yeah, following the outcome of SummerSlam, I mean, the landscape has completely changed, you know, even straight from the Monday after. You've got returning faces, you've got folk that, you know, are forming new stables, folk that have come back from injury, and also just folk that were released last year or have been MIA for so long that you never would even considered, you know, they'd be selected in this round, which is... And I think this is going to make the following season very, very interesting, especially with Triple H under the power of creative control at the minute. So I'm excited to see where this season goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I think it did give us a chance to reflect and everything on the what was going to be set up, because then we also got the arrangement of the trio tournament. People were picking some AEW picks based on that. So I think maybe there could be a precedent for maybe giving more time between the end of one season and the beginning of the next going forward.
Yeah, it was a weird dynamic because with a full week after SummerSlam and Oscar Gordon, that gave us a lot of time to see what was happening, especially with Triple H running things, as you said. And we could kind of see a slight direction where things were going, so it was a bit easier in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But also the fact, I want to add, we did it on the Monday before Raw the following week, because usually when we do draft show, Raw has happened, sometimes NXT's happened, and that kind of gives a bit of advantage for going in A2 shows, because we know what's going to happen. But we kind of had a clean slate in that sense, because we'd seen one of every show since SummerSlam. So that was also, I like that in that sense for the 6-day draft.
Yeah, definitely, because usually SmackDown is still to happen when we do make a selection, so you're always thinking in the back of your mind, could something happen to someone who I picked that appears on SmackDown that immediately fucks it for me before the season really kicks off? And it really did give you that feeling of the season starts now, because usually the season started, but technically not start until the following Monday when the score starts. But given that we recorded that and then Raw was just a few hours later, the gates of all right, it's go time, it's starting, it's happening now, kind of thing. And it's led us in the first week. The first week's usually pretty slow, score-wise. It's a marathon, not a sprint, as they say. But we have a three-way tie for 12 points. We have AJ Styles. We have AJ Styles on 12 points. I can't exactly remember what AJ did on Raw, but he's got a US title shot this Monday against Bobby Lashley, so that'll be very interesting for him. But unsurprisingly, we got Kai and Sky as separate picks. They were not picked as a tag team early doors, as I suspected they would be. But they were both on 12 points after they advanced in the first round of the women's tag team tournament. Not really going to break down each pick, because we could probably do that when we get to people's individual teams. But Dave, looking at those three, any surprises that these three, not only are they in the top three to start off, but they're all in the same points value?
Yeah, I mean, Bayley's stable in particular, I think that was one of the big talking points coming out of SummerSlam. She's been back after a year. Dakota Kai gets re-signed, and Io Shirai reappears after quite a lengthy absence on NXT, especially following rumors that, she was done with NXT and going back to Japan. So I think it's really good to see them competing as a tag team as well. And you just know that they're going to be sort of the main heel characters going forward in Raw's women's division. And I'm genuinely surprised nobody took them as a tag team, because you could have got 12 points just for the both of them together, and you would take it away from someone that would be taken away from getting those additional points. AJ, though, is a bit of a surprise, because I know he's in a feud with The Miz at this stage, but I didn't think just a DQ win and maybe a couple of appearance points would get him as much as 12 points. But then again, he has got the captaincy applied on him, so I suppose that has got to be the contributing factor, as is with Bayley's team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ryan, I'm assuming that you're very happy here, because you have Io Sky on your team, so a good start for you, with the chances are that they're the favourites to win this women's tag team tournament.
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely the direction I wanted to go in. As soon as Dakota Kai went as a singles pick, I had to make that shift quickly. I knew that Io Sky, this is very confusing, by the way, had to be picked by myself. And I'm surprised no one in between me and Ryan picked them, because I know it was three people between us or something like that. So, yeah, but I'm surprised no one picked her at all, and I'm happy I got her.
Yeah, we should remind people that when you pick somebody who then goes into a tag team, you still get championship points for them as a singles competitor, even if they win a tag team title. There's no change, and that just means that they now compete as a singles competitor out with the tag team occasionally against a team, someone from a team they're feuding with, then you'll get the match points. Whereas if you had them as a tag team and one half of them competes in a singles match, then you wouldn't get points as them as a tag team. So I do agree with you that I was confused. I was kind of, there was a couple of people between like you, Ryan, and me, because they were one of my choices for the tag team. So I'd already picked Bailey. When it came back around to me, I was wondering if they would slip by and I could get the whole stable,
yeah,
you know, as the one, you know. So that didn't quite work out as I'd hoped. But I'm happy with the tag team that I did get. But you guys think that, I think I may have mentioned this on the selection show, but I think the idea of the tag teams being able to be picked any round that change that was made this season kind of caused some people to almost forget.
Well, yeah, I think, especially with the notice, like, with the likes of Siobhan and Adam Pearce no longer legal choices, we kind of needed a little spanner in the works. And if you put tag teams in any round, you have to be, it makes the draft hard in a sense, because they can go as single picks any time as well, and you'd be almost like hated out of it. So you have to pick a weak tag team later on if you don't get a decent one. And I feel like some people caught that on quite early, especially with Dakota Kai getting picked as a single early, same with Montez Ford.
I think some
that was deliberate.
I think some people kind of almost were so keen because they thought, oh, well, I can start off with getting a couple of big singles picks. So they were keen to do that, but then it got to like the second or third round where they kind of were like, oh, wait, I remember they had a tag team. Whereas there wasn't as much of an urgency to get like one of the better tag teams right off the gate as there would have been in past seasons, I thought.
I will tell you one thing while I'm here. We're talking about tag teams. I wasn't sure how to approach the tag team for the draft this season, right? So I got myself some special counsel, right? So I got no other than my predecessor, David Campbell, and asked him what he thought. And he literally said, just draft them as if they're a normal wrestler. So just forget the fact they're a tag team. If Usos are high up anyway, going to pick Usos early, Street Profits early, etc., etc., you don't think about that. And I think that was, I'm glad I did that in the last one, because I would have bombed that otherwise. Oh, I did that anyway. But I thought it was an interesting dynamic, and I thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah. So we're going to quickly go over to the top 10 and start off the first week of the draft. Again, like I said, it's not really an indication of where things are going to go. There's still so much to come. In a couple of weeks, we had three big pay-per-view late events in the one like weekend, the start of September. So that will really be the determining factor for how most of the season probably plays out. So we start off, we have Gary Kernahan and number with 8 points at number 10, with Team Versa, the name that will thankfully never go away. We have Andy Mitchell returning to the show as Vince McMahon's financial advisors at 14 points. And we have a three-way tie for 15 points. We have the Wilson Wankers, one of the most accurate draft names in history. Myself at Ding Dong Cowboy Shit. And the full-bodied Bordeaux's, with that's Ross team, all tied for 15 points. Then there's another two-way tie, Ryan, at least your team, Ryan's Redeemers, question mark, and What the Finaki, which is the returning Graham McRobbie's team. And then we jump up a little bit to 18 points, which is Ryan Gallagher returning with the name he's used before, Northmen, South Bend Comrades. All. And then we have with 20 points, Bald Jericho, Dan Axel Jameson, you know, proving to be one of the smarter, you know, listeners league competitors we've had so far. It seems like he started off well in second place, and anybody smarter than buddy Adam Callier drafting it, transferring out fucking Carmelo Hayes. I still can't get over that. Fucking idiot. And then Jack, you know, despite, you know, Hockney's claim, you know, it makes it difficult when you draft from last, Jack is still managed that as he, in the first week, is at number one with a three-time Kings of Drafting at 23 points. Obviously, no indication as to how long the season will go, but Jack, despite picking last, being last week season winner, he's starting off the best position he could possibly be.
Yeah, honestly, he's not here. I'm not talking about him. That's my decision. David, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I mean, only Jack could pull off winning three times a draft from last place, and finish the first week at the top of the table. But then again, I suppose the timing of it was a little bit in his favour, because he was able to get both Bobby Lashley and Gunther, who had two successful title defences this week, and I think that's what's really boosted him up the table this week. So I suppose there's that added factor of knowing what's coming in the following week for this instance. Yeah. And then obviously Asuka and Edge sort of backs him up with a couple extra appearance points here and there. Asuka's got a big match at Clash at the Castle planned and a six-woman tag match as well. So you never know, Jack could be in line for some big points as long as his two mid-card champions get more defenses along the way.
Once, twice, three times a draft win. I know, and three times a wanker. Before we go into everybody's team, which is what we're all here for, is there anything happening in the listeners' league that we should pretend to give a shit about?
Nope.
I will add one thing, actually. How many seasons have we done this with the listeners' league? Like five or six?
At least, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Every time we tell them, you have until Monday to pick your team, there is Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Rampage, Dynamite to watch. In between then, what do they do? On the Monday, before the deadline, they put their teams in. And this is my major gripe, because they don't learn. You can literally watch the four other shows, learn more, and then pick your team. But no. No wonder they're in that fucking league.
I think that's why I'm so shocked that Dynats or Jameson shows any sort of common sense, because compared to everybody else in that bloody listeners' league, he's fucking Einstein. So
I mean, he is sitting second at the top of the table, which is, I believe, the highest a listeners' league performer has gotten so far in the main draft. So, I mean, fair play to Dan. You know, I think he had his head screwed on for the team selection.
That's only week one, but yeah, he did quite well.
Yeah, let's not be prepared to give him his pats on the back just yet. We'll see how he goes. So, I believe Gary Kernahan picked first. I think we'll go in order of like selection. So we'll start off with Gary Kernahan's team for the draft selection. And Gary, I was interested to see what would happen when Gary, got the first pick. Would he go for the tag team, or would he, take advantage of this new convention that we have with tag team? Don't need to be picked right out of the gate. And he didn't do that. He went with a singles pick. He went for Roman Reigns as his number one pick. Then he went FTR. He got Adam Cole, Alexa Bliss.
Baby.
Stop it. Kevin Owens and Ronda Rousey. Rousey and Roman, I didn't think either of them would show up this week, but then bloody Ronda Rousey showed up with a big bag of money on SmackDown to pay off the fine of her suspension, which made me think, I thought we had a break for you for a few more weeks. But so he's got two picks who are on 0 points so far. Again, it's only the first week, but Roman, again, he's going to be very spragged. We know he's going to be at Clash at the Castle, but other than that, I don't expect you'll have a major match until maybe around about the time of the upcoming Saudi show at the end of October, start of November time. FDR seems like they might be going after the tag titles in AEW this season. Some okay picks in the layer, but Rousey due to get back in the ring very soon as he's paid off for suspension. Dave, as the man who had the first position, what do you think of Gary's selection? Because obviously he makes his first pick, then the snake draft is up. Very few people who can go between his first and second pick.
I mean, it looks pretty good on paper. It's just that I think the problem is that the appearances are going to be quite sporadic, especially since Cole is still sort of on the injured list. Alexa Bliss is still trying to find her momentum. Kevin Owens has just sort of reinvented himself a bit, and Rousey is going to be sort of going back and forth along with Roman Reigns, given her suspension, Roman's working a lighter schedule. I think this could let Gary down in the short term, but if he's going for big points on pay-per-view and stuff, he certainly could make a bounce back. But so I don't think it's really a surprise he's sitting at the bottom of the table at the minute, despite drafting first, because he basically had full control on who he wanted in his team from the get-go.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't know about you. I think this is kind of a wait-and-see kind of team. Like, we're yet to see how good this team can truly be in the first week.
Yeah, as David said, good on paper. At first glance, it doesn't really wow me, but I think, surprisingly, where I think the points might actually come from are pot five and six. I think Kevin Owens at round five is huge, especially with the rumours that he might be getting a bit more momentum, and especially showing against Ezekiel in Raw. He's not going to beat about the bush anymore. And Ronda Rousey appearing on television despite a suspension. Because that was the main worry with Ronda Rousey. Didn't know how long she's going to be off television for, and she's back already. So that is huge for Gary, and he'll be looking at that. In terms of Bliss, Cole, I'm not entirely sure how much they'll score. FDR, as you said, they're going after tag titles. And with Roman Reigns, I'm surprised he went first, to be honest. He's going to get picked round one or maybe two, but he's not going to be on every week, and that really worries me, especially for round one.
I think he had Roman just to kind of have him for when he does show up, get those additional points, especially given the idea Roman mainly only wrestles now in title matches, so those going to get advantage of those title points when he does show up. But again, that's going to be very few and far between. Bliss, I think he's going to be able to get some wins in the short term and appearances, but he's going to take a few losses at the hands of this new Bayley stable, I think, going forward. And Cole, I think he's not going to score for a few weeks because outside of appearances, because he's still not medically cleared, which has obviously caused him and Fish and O'Reilly to not be able to take part in the tag team tournament, the trios tournament, because you can't really have a trios competing when only one of them is healthy enough to wrestle, because that would be unfair on poor Bobby Fish. So we'll see what happens with Team Versailles going forward. But Grammy Robbie Mays returned to the draft, and he had it's very AEW heavy. The only WWE really pick is Roxanne Perez, and she's NXT, so no main roster picks on Grammy Robbie's team. He took interim AEW champion John Moxley, which is served him very well. He was on 11 points, but everyone else has really just got a single point to start off with. We got Claudio Castagnoli, Swerve, and Lee as the tag team, the current tag team champions. I believe they're setting up a tag team title defense next week between them and Private Party, so some big title points can be coming Grant's way. Roxanne Perez, as I said, we got Toni Storm, I believe now again the number one contender for the women's title, and Malakai Black, who is competing alongside the rest of the House of Black in the Trios tournament.
Yeah, this is quite interesting because obviously, well, Grant's sticking to what he knows. I mean, that's fair play to him. No one can really fault him for that. And obviously, Moxley getting the AEW title defense in there has definitely helped him out in the first week. Although CM Punk has now returned, so we could see a bit of a back and forth between those two. Whether or not he retains remains to be seen. Although I have heard reports that Malakai Black is actually dealing with a back injury, quite a serious one as well.
Yeah, it looks quite a long term from what I saw as well.
It looks like Grant could already be down one person.
It's interesting that they've still announced them though. Like, they didn't announce Undisputed Elite for it because, again, two of them aren't fully medically. We don't know how bad they are, but they still announced House of Black despite the Trios tournament then being already announced for the tournament. So do you think it's a case of Malakai just doesn't tag in that tournament, or do you think he just doesn't wrestle at all and they debut someone new?
They probably won't make him wrestle, I doubt, especially if it's serious. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of person where, outside of that match, I think they'll have him on television, perhaps still next to Brody Lee, but Brody Lee will do all the hard work. But I don't know to what degree they'll put that into effect.
Yeah, it's interesting to see where this team will help, right? I mean, on one side, you do have to say there are two AEW pay-per-views this season, so he's got some people who could definitely get a pay-per-view appearance points for him to help balance out the lack of WWE representation. Claudio and Moxley will be on TV regularly, even if Moxley isn't the champion because of the Blackpool Combat Club. He's such a big feature nowadays.
Yeah. Bear in mind, even though Claudio is Ring of Honor champion, he won't get championship points.
Yeah.
Yes, that's still a thing.
Do you think Darren was aware of that?
Possibly.
Maybe. I still think we should have a discussion on whether or not that should remain a thing, but that's just my own thing.
He definitely is investing in the Blackpool Combat Club, for sure.
Oh, there's definitely value there, yeah.
I'm surprised no one tried to take a couple of random members of the Blackpool Combat Club, as a tag team, because they're always seemingly together. Or did anyone really... Nobody was really putting Brian Danielson either, given that, I think he's returned on Rampage, so he'll be back in the ring soon. Just interesting to see how this has worked out. But going over to our Listeners League competitor, Dan Axel Jameson, he was the first to draft the tag team. I think his position right now is helped by the fact he was third overall to pick. And if you're going to be the first to pick a tag team, who else are you going to pick but the Usos, who are currently on 6 points, had a big thing with Drew McIntyre last night. He's got a few champions on his team. He's also got Wardlow, the TNT champion, and TBS champion Jade Cargill, currently undefeated. He also got Nikita Lyons from as his second women's pick from NXT. So seemingly big things for her. We've got Ricochet, hoping that Ricochet will start to get some momentum again, maybe under Triple H. And then, interestingly, a guy who I think will maybe set a new standard as a non-wrestling pick is that Stokely Hathaway. He seems to be recruiting all sorts of people now. He's trying to recruit Ethan Page, Lee Moriarty, and even recently on Rampage and Dynamite, he's been trying to recruit the Ass Boys away from their father. So, you know, again, on paper, Dan may have one of the stronger listeners' league teams we've ever seen.
I definitely agree with that. I think, especially with Stokely, like, obviously, I don't think he'll score to the high ends of Tony Schiavone, kind of like the 2.0. Not as good as the old-fashioned NXT, but, you know, whatever. Mm. If, round six, if you're getting 3 appearance points every week, you're not gonna bat an eyelid at that. You're gonna take it, especially your first time in the main league. Also, with Nikita Lyons, they might give her and Zoe Stark's a good showing in this tournament. They won't win it, but they might get through a few rounds, and that's on top of NXT appearances. Mm. So that's great, and you can't argue with getting the Usos third pick.
Yeah,
with Triple H, at all.
And with Triple H in control, you imagine he's going to try and shed some spotlight on his NXT graduates a little bit. But the Usos was a no-brainer. Like, probably the most dominant tag team we've seen in the draft in a long time. And getting them first round, yeah, definitely a winning formula right there, especially given that most of the winners in the draft from number 3.
There you go. It's our number 27 if this was the Royal Rumble.
I think the one thing that's going to let Dan down is Ricochet, because after losing the Intercontinental title, he hasn't really had much going for him, and it looks like he's going to be in a little undercard feud with Happy Corbin. But
Corbin doesn't win all these feuds, to be fair. He's good at giving a softball to other people, and maybe Triple H wants to use this feud to help springboard him back up the upper mid-card a little bit. You never know. Wardlow is TNT champion and JCBS champion. They tend to defend their belts fairly regularly, and with All Out coming up, it could be interesting to see how those two work out. And also, whenever Jade shows up, she is currently managed by Stokely Hathaway, so we'll get a point for Stokely as well whenever Jade shows up. The Usos, I agree with you a bit, Don. I think they've always been a consistent team, other than that brief period where I believe it was Jimmy who was injured for a prolonged period of time in 2020. Early 2021, but they've been a persistent team other than that time. I think the last team that have such a dominant run than the Usos, like last couple of seasons, maybe like when Sasha and Bayley were a tag team, but they weren't even picked as a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Just singles, yeah.
Yeah, but they still had the tag team belts, and they ran Russia across all three of the major WWE brands, so Usos are definitely a must-have team fair to Dan for getting them. We have Ross getting Drew McIntyre. Whether or not he wins a Clash of the Castle, Drew's probably going to come out of this with a big feud with Karrion Kross. So Drew's always going to be a major fixture and probably always be in consideration for a first-round selection. Drew's on 10 points right now. Then the rest of the team is still a bit slow. You've got Scarlett, who will always appear whenever Karrion Kross does. You got The Judgment Day. I always like to say it like that, The Judgment Day. I don't think he picked them for the right reason. He said he was trying to take two singles picks off the board, but there were still so many other tag teams available. I don't know if that was the right choice. You got Shayna Baszler, Gina Promotions, who was in a contract signing segment with Liv Morgan last night, and he's got Pac, who is on zero, but like with the whole All Atlantic thing, he is going to be competing in the Trios tournament, so he's finally going to show up for work properly this week, hopefully. And then we've got Braun Breaker, who despite being the NXT champion, is on zero so far. So Braun, I don't have much of an issue. It depends on how much longer they want to keep him. And NXT does have a title defense coming up next week against JD McDonough. So we'll see what happens with that outcome. But other than maybe one or two picks here, I don't think Ross has scored the best, especially with his tag team and the choice of pack, because I don't think the All-Atlantic is going to score as some other championships will.
Yeah, Pac was a bit of an anomaly. I mean, he's competing in the Trios tournament as well, which I suppose might be the saving grace, but if he was banking on championship points with the All-Atlantic Championship, I think he might be disappointed, because I think that title was created specifically to be defended in other promotions or on Dark or Dark Elevation. So, and obviously those don't count. So I think Ross might have, might have been a bit overeager with the selection of Pack. Not sure about the status of Bron Breakker, but if he is to lose to Jordan Devlin, then maybe a main roster call-up might actually do him some good. JD Madonna, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. I know they look similar, but, you know, they're definitely different people.
Oh, come on, it's not Elias and Ezekiel, is it?
Where's got a tag team match going?
But the Pack thing, maybe the only thing, like you said, is the Trios tournament, because I think if the Bucks, you know, the whole teasing right now, will they, won't they with Hangman, and, you know, if they don't end up winning, and, you know, the Undisputed Elite aren't competing in it because of injuries, you think outside of those two trios, you think the other favourites to do it may be the Death Triangle? Because I think, you know, other than maybe the Dark Order who are competing this, they are a group that's probably been together longest out of everybody competing in this tournament.
I think Death Triangle would be a dark horse for the Trios tournament, but I think you have to bet on the Young Bucks and whoever their partner is. I mean, it could be Hangman, whoever knows. It could be Kenny Omega, for all we know.
Who knows? Ryan, what do you think about Drew and Shane? Because I think their overall success in the season might be determined by whether or not they walk out as champions come Clash at the Castle.
I have two very different opinions on both of these matches. I'll start with Shayna. I want Shayna to beat Liv. I don't think she will, because I've always wanted Shayna to be a WWE Women's Champion. Mm-hmm. And she should have been 2 or 3 years back when they first brought her on.
Agreed.
And if I didn't, especially after that Elimination Chamber match with Asuka and the Riot Squad in there, just absolutely annihilated everybody. That should have been it from there. They're never capitalising that, and she's never looked the same since. So I think she should be a Women's Champion, but I don't think they'll do it so soon. Drew, they're building up like he has to win it, but I don't think he will. Or if he does, there might be some outside changes, let's just say, with a certain cash in. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh,
I think Theory will cash in on Drew in Wales.
Well, we'll come back to Theory later on.
Funny you should say that, Ryan, because we actually discussed that on Central. Like, and if that were to happen, you just know that Austin Theory would get nuclear heat from that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. But yeah, other than that, not a lot of this team wows me. You could tell when Ross was on the Bordeaux when he picked Scarlet by the time he got to picking Pack. So,
you know, I appreciate a guy that loves a good Bordeaux, so
I'm more of a White Zinfandel kind of man.
Hey, listen, we only drink the finest here at the West End Country Club, although we have a good selection of Sauvignon Blanc and Chablis as well.
I wish I knew what you were talking about, David.
Yes. Theory cashing in at Clash of the Castle would be the most shocking thing to happen in Wales since the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special a few years ago. But, you know, you talked about wanting Shayna to win at Clash of the Castle. Someone who doesn't want Shayna to win is Andy Mitchell, who has Liv Morgan and his team, the current SmackDown Women's Champion. He also has Tommaso Ciampa, who's on zero after his loss to Bobby Lashley this past week. He's got Rosa. And AEW Women's Champion. He's got the D'Angelo family of Stax and Tony D as a tag team. He's got AJ Styles, like, he is his captain, which is a smart choice. Right now, with the uncertainty of whether or not Liv will be champion in a few weeks, and the Celtdown with AJ being on 12 points. And then he's got Christian, at last, he's in the draft. Anyway, so. It's weird to see where Andy's going. I mean, Andy didn't have the best luck with Ross as a tag team partner, but he's openly proved that Ross was the weaker link of the two going forward. He made his feelings known about the whole Shane McMahon fiasco of that team. But, you know, other than AJ so far, it's been slow starting out the gates for old Andre Michel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he definitely took a gamble with Tommaso Ciampa, and to be honest, if I were Triple H, I'd have done the same, you know, because, you know, he's one of Triple H's little proteges and stuff. He has sort of made a name for himself, despite, you know, pairing with The Miz. You know, he still stands on his own 2 feet as a bit of a solid singles competitor, so you never know. I mean, he might bounce back from this, but AJ, though, I mean, what a way to kick off, you know, putting the captaincy on him, getting the win over The Miz and stuff which has been quite good. I'm not sure about D'Angelo Family, though. That might be a bit of a stretch, especially if Big Tony's going to be mostly in singles action. He's got a one-on-one against Santos Escobar at that point. But, you know, if Santos loses, he leaves NXT. So could this be a sign of Legado del Fantasma getting moved to the main roster?
I think so. I think that's the direction I'm going to take, to be honest.
Yeah, because they as a stable have been vastly underappreciated, and I think they would suit the main roster quite well.
I think the situation is that they have to stay, but he has to leave. So the idea that he's trying to break up Escobar's like family, I suppose. So who knows? I think Escobar kind of has to win that one. But the bright side for Randy is that, you know, Donnie Woolley won't lose that many points from losing to Escobar, given that he's a tag team competitor.
Yeah, another problem I see with Andy's team is, well, it's not a bad idea to draft the SmackDown Women's Champion first. The fans are starting to be a bit fickle with Liv Morgan, I think. You know, literally weeks before they were cheering their heads off about her winning, and now they're saying, like, nah, we're not interested anymore. I think it's going to be hit and miss between her and Shayna at Clash at the Castle. But, you know, Ryan, as you said, Shayna is long overdue a women's title reign, and now the fans seem to be getting fickle with Liv.
It's a shame as well. I think that finish at SummerSlam really gets a dark cloud over how people look at her title reign, which isn't really fair, because, again, like you said, Liv should have had this kind of reign like ages ago.
Yeah, so should Shayna.
Well, yeah, it's fair, but
It's been there longer, though.
Anyway, let's not get into these kind of semantics here. But Ryan, we had some questions about your team come the selection show, and now it's time for you. Let us know your picks and tell us why. Tell me why you have made these picks.
Right, so I went with Austin Theory first round. A lot of people didn't like that pick, but I generally do have a hunch that he's going to cash in between now Survivor Series. That's why I wanted him off the table. Then I went with Io Sky, not Shirai, not Kai, Io Shirai. Io Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dakota Kai went as well, so I wanted to go her. And then after that, the tag teams were dropping, so I went for the hunch of Sasha Banks and Naomi coming back. I'll get into that in a second. Then I went with Karrion Kross because of the recent appearance on SmackDown. Cora Jade, because I think she won the food again over Roxanne Perez, but I could be wrong. And Sami Zayn because of the amount of appearance points she's been getting on the last couple of SmackDowns with the Usos trying to get in the locker room. You get any questions?
Banks and Naomi. That is very, very bold. I mean, it's, you know, we always take a pick, you know, just take a punt on it, assuming they'll return at some point. This is that moment. And I'm assuming, is it because you think they're going to try and wedge their way into the Women's Tag Team Title Tournament in some capacity?
So, the rational thought, obviously, the tag team choices were going, and I decided with the risk of picking them and the risk of the amount of points I could potentially lose if they don't show up at all, that much, because I think the quality of the tag teams by that time were already diluted, and I wasn't interested in anybody else. So I was willing to take a punt in terms, like, I'd rather take a punt and go for them and they score well, and I can win the season that way. I can't win the season picking the Mysterios. You know what I mean?
You took a couple of punts, especially, you know, as you said, with Austin Theory, hoping for a cash-in, but he's been absent lately due to a family issue.
Yeah. I believe that. A close family member passed away.
Yeah, it was his uncle, I think.
Yeah, but my approach this season was essentially, there's been a lot of changes in hierarchy, so I went all WWE, and I just went, these people are going to get pushed, and I'm going to try and capitalise on it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I was surprised at how many appearance points Sami Zayn got this week as well, because I was doing the scoring for SmackDown, and I thought, Sami Zayn's popping up quite a lot here. So you never know, I think he could be a bit of a dark horse in terms of appearance points.
He was on three or four last SmackDown as well, previously.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm banking on. He doesn't have to wrestle, he doesn't have to win matches. If he just turns up every week a couple of times per SmackDown, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Most appearances for a fifth round pick as well after the first week. So you could be setting a trend here.
Yeah.
I think your whole theme here was like some people who maybe had let you down in the past Ryan D to bring them back, you know, redeem them and everything. Theory is the only one who's not been in your team, so he could fuck up for you this time around. Yeah. Him being picked first round, I was, again, unsure about, because, yeah, unlike last season when he was picked first round, you know, he was coming off a big match at WrestleMania, he was being set up for US title reign. Also, none of us could have foreseen that he would win Money in the Bank, but that was still a big thing when it happened. But, yeah, you know, this time around, I'm less sure, given that, obviously, since Vince has left, his creative, you know, direction has been unclear. He's just been made to, he's just been battered by just about everybody on the roster for multiple weeks in a row. Thanks, yeah, to Naomi. I appreciate the boldness of that decision, especially given that, you know, with the new regime, that they might want to, you know, send that all over and, you know, look, we've got actual teams now. We're actually doing a tournament this time around. Look, I'll book you, right? Come on, come on. And you come. So you never know what happened. And then plus with EO and Dakota, possibly the likely winners of that tournament, a potential feud between those two would be a good appearance getter. Karrion Kross, especially the rumours would be, believe that he'll be pushed very heavily into the championship scene, the main event scene.
Yeah.
That could pay off dividends. Obviously, that's again where that little extended break paid off, because obviously Karrion Kross would have been nowhere near anybody's team, but now Karrion Kross seems like a hot commodity, as I said before, given his surprise appearance on SmackDown.
Yeah, I went for new. I just want new, the new hotness, the new thing to go for, and I've just picked them all.
You did that with EO Sky brilliantly. You know, they're the hot new faction, and, you know, already scoring you 12 points right off the bat. That's probably the smartest decision you made in the selection.
It's interesting because when she was still at EO Shirai, there would be times where she would pick, even when she was NXT Women's Champion, we'd still be like, I don't know, will she be that strong of a pick? Like Derek, and he's one and only season, picked her first round, and we were kind of, I felt bad for it, but we were kind of giving him stick for it, but this may be the first time that EO properly delivers on the potential that she has as a solid draft pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think on paper I've maybe got one of the weaker teams right now, but if my hunches go correctly, you should be watching where I end up.
Yeah, it's all based on hunches right now. Let's see where that goes. But now it's time to talk about me. Can I talk about me for a second? Can I get a word in? Jesus. My team, and despite where I was picking, I think I got a lot of who I really wanted, and I think I've got some solid people that really, I think some people may have forgotten about. First round, I took advantage of singles pick being available. I took Bailey. I've taken Bailey as a first round pick before. Didn't work out. She got injured and kept losing to Bianca Belair. But now, I think she's in a prime position, debuting with a new stable, big trios match at Clash at the Castle. I think she's proud to take that belt from Bianca. I mean, Bianca's had that belt since May. She beat Becky multiple times. She's beat Asuka, Sonya, Carmella. Like, there's no shame in Bianca dropping that belt at this stage after such a long reign. Then I got the Young Bucks, who are my second choice tag team if I couldn't get Kai and Sky, because I think the Bucks, whether it's with Hangman or whoever else, are still favourites, I think, to potentially walk out as the first ever trios champions All Out. And then if it's Adam Page who teams with him, then I'll get championship points for him, because I got him third round. I think he really slipped down some people's, you know, pecking order since losing the AEW title. And, you know, even if he doesn't, he'll still appear regularly, either with the Dark Order or his own thing, as they maybe try and build him up to the main event scene again. Then I took Zoe Stark. She's the one I'm really the least sure about. She's on 4 points right now. She got a win, I think, on this week's NXT. She's challenging Mandy Rose for the title. Next week, she's also competing in this women's tag tournament. So I think there's some potential here. Then I've got Jungle Boy, because I think he kind of has to win this upcoming feud that he's got with Christian. Maybe they'll have a match at All Out. And whether he's wrestling with Luchasaurus or as a singles guy, I think he's somewhere that AEW will feature prominently now that he's back. And then the only person who's not got any points because he didn't appear this week, but he's returning next week on Raw, is Riddle, who I think, you know, after the whole stuff with Roman and not winning Money in the Bank, he really needs something to, you know, get his momentum back. And I think a win over Seth Rollins coming Clash at the Castle could be just the thing that he needs, you know, tied him over. You know, I think they see a lot of potential in Riddle, and so they'll probably be booking him strongly as a singles guy until Randy comes back sometime next year.
Yeah. I think Bailey, round one, was a great choice. I think you saw straight away what was going to happen, especially with Hoddit and Doddit next to them. So I think Bailey's a great choice
big,
there.
Big Kai in the sky.
Big Kai in the sky, sure I will, yeah. Better than Bianca, though? I don't know. But I think Bailey's in for a chance of maybe getting the title soon, but they might not want Bianca dropping it. Young Bucks, yeah, they're probably going to... They're going to do well in this tournament, and I think Adam Page will be involved in some extent as well. You know, it's a sure and Zoe start. I don't think she'll beat Mandy, but I think beyond that, she'll still score you quite well, especially with her involvement in this tournament and SmackDown as well. So I wouldn't worry about that too much yet. Jungle Boy is going to be Christian Cage. That's just happening. I don't think there's much dispute about that. I don't know where the program goes beyond that, but that's the direction right now. As for Riddle, that's a steal round six, personally, if he's back in Raw next week. But the only worry is I think Seth's very overdue a victory. Very overdue. And I think Matt Riddle might be getting a bite for it.
Imagine if we get them at Clash at the Castle. But looking at your team, this one's a bit hit and miss. Because I think Bailey and the Bucks are safe bets to do well, both in the respective programs. Paige obviously might pop up here and there, but Zoe Stark, Jungle Boy and Riddle, it could go either way. There's a lot of uncertainty with that second half of the team, but that's not to say it's not a bad team, because it actually is quite good on paper. I hope Zoe Stark gets the push after returning from injury, Jungle Boy wins the feud against Christian, and for your sake, I hope Hangman teams with the Bucks to win the Trios tournament. So, I mean, this could have a lot of potential, just a lot of uncertainty about it.
I think it's a solid team on paper. All Out will be the kind of the determining factor, but you know, I know they said, "Oh, Hangman, he's not going to team with the Bucks. He might be with the Dark Order or whatever." But I think all signs are pointing to the Bucks, you know, coming being in the final at the very least. And you know, it'd be weird if they did all this teasing with Hangman and he didn't team with him. Like I said, there's always Omega or somebody that we've not thought of to team with him. But you know, I like Bianca. You know, she's been a solid pick for me in the last couple of seasons. Consistent point scorer. She's been finishing in the top overall the season the last few seasons, but again, you don't want her reign to go on too long. You know, again, like if it fans get fickle when they feel like title means either go on too long or become a bit stagnant or whatever. And I think, you know, taking it off Bianca now, you know, you can always give her back at some point down the line, but it gets people invested in her, like as she chases the belt back. Zoe Stark is the one I keep saying I'm unsure about, because she's in this major women's title match on NXT, but then she's also in this thing in the main roster where she's in a tag tournament. So like, and I'm annoyed that they've scheduled her tag match after the women's title match, because now, like, does she win the women's title match but then lose first round, or does she lose this and then go past the first round but then not go any further? Like, I don't know what exactly they're doing here with Zoe Stark, which is making me more and more unsure about my choice here. I definitely still think that the Kai and Sky will come out with the win at the Trios match at Clash of the Castle. That'll set the stage for like Kai and Sky against like Bliss and Asuka, like going for the tag belt, and Bayley maybe will get the pin to set her up as a challenger for Bianca, say like Extreme Rules, which I think is the next pay per view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a 6-woman tag match at Clash at the Castle, so it's Bayley could likely get points there.
I think maybe some people might say it's a winning team here, but I think this is a strong team on paper, especially given who the period I was at. There were so many rounds where I was like, oh wait, so-and-so's still here, and so is this person. So I'm happy with my selections. Like Riddle, I wasn't even going to get first. Like it was the last round, I thought this is where you take some punts. Maybe I'll take Hook or Ricky Starks or even Max Dupree. But then I thought like, no, Riddle. Like Riddle was challenging for the Universal Title a few months ago. Like, why has he not already been picked? Fuck it, I'm taking Riddle. And I don't know, it's weird when Riddle seems like a risk in a draft, especially in the last round.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It might pay off for you, Scott, so just wait and see.
Yeah. Someone who hopes it doesn't pay off for me in a couple of hours since it is Steven Wilson, because he has Bianca Belair and Seth Rollins. So I wish him the very worst. He's also got the Creeds, who did well for me in the latter half of last season as the NXT Tag Team Champions. He's got Rhea Ripley, who's been appearing more after her injury with the Judgment Day. He's got Carmelo Hayes, who would ever not want Carmelo Hayes, and he's got Wheeler Yuta, who also, you know, much like Claudio, being a Ring of Honor champion, he will not be getting appearance points for, he will not get any championship points if he defends that title on AEW TV. But, you know, he's still a consistent person with, still consistent with the Blackpool Combat Club appearing on TV all the time. So, you know, who knows where Wheeler will go. I think it's his first proper time being picked as a singles competitor.
Yeah, I think Steven's team's quite strong on paper, especially with Bianca and Seth. Hopefully Seth does worse for Steven than he did for me, and that's saying something. The one I've got my eye on is Rhea. Rhea round four is quite good, and I think she might have high things going for her. The only problem is the Judgment Day storyline-wise is a bit, or just them in general, has been quite weak-looking since Edge leaving. Looks a bit of a train wreck, to be honest. I don't know what they're going to do with any of them, but hopefully it works out for Rhea. Wheeler Yuta, he's not going to be losing many wrestling matches, if I say so myself. But I will say, I don't think the Creed brothers really excite me that much. I'm not entirely sure about them, but overall, I think the team's quite strong. Oh, how can I miss Carmelo Hayes? One of the robberies of the last season's draft. Can he do the same here?
Yes. Dave, what do you think?
Again, another good team on paper, but also an element of uncertainty because, you know, I mean, Bianca's been on a hell of a run, but is this where it starts to go downhill? Seth Rollins is due a massive win as well. I hope he gets that over Riddle for Steven's sake, especially with the captaincy applied. I think this team could certainly be a slow burner, especially with the Creeds and Carmelo Hayes, you know, potentially getting title defenses there and throughout. And Rhea Ripley returning from injury is a huge benefit for Judgment Day as a whole. Wheeler Yuta, I think, might be the one to watch, given that, you know, his appearances may be sporadic across Dynamite and Rampage. And as you said, there's no title defenses for Wheeler Yuta either. Yeah, I think Steven's banking on, you know, Bianca and Seth Rollins running rampant on Raw, whilst the Creeds and Carmelo sort of try and get him the big points on NXT. Definitely a team I can really get behind, for sure. But again, it's just that element of uncertainty. Like, has the Bianca momentum ran its course a little bit?
I don't think our momentum ran its course. I think that they might wrap up this particular title, because I think, you know, if you don't give it to Bayley, then how many threats do you really have left other than potentially bringing Charlotte back and putting her on Raw, which I don't think many people really want to see at this stage. So giving it to Bayley, let some other people chase it while Bianca's still on the periphery, maybe make Bianca win the Rumble again, continue the stuff with Bayley. Because, you know, Bianca's been a real success story, I think, on the main roster for the last couple of years since the stuff with Banks and Becky at SummerSlam last year, and the way they've been building her up. So I definitely think you need to give her some, like, challenges and things to overcome. So taking the belt away from her temporarily, I think it's the smart decision. Going on to Ryan, he was picking second last, and he's, you know, and he's big return to the draft. He's got the Miz first round, which was bizarre. And Miz is only on 3 points so far. You got Dakota Kai, obviously scoring very well, as we talked about. Montez Ford is a singles pick. You got Anna Jay, the Acclaimed, also a big fan of scissoring. Acclaimed as his tag team, fairly low down, lower than anybody else's tag team right now. And he's got Danhausen. Very nice, very evil. As the last round, but Danhausen's still on 1 point. He won that. Well, he lost actually a tie match alongside Eric Redbeard to the Ass Boys last night on Rampage. So who knows how Danhausen will go? Danhausen hasn't been winning many matches. So Ryan's got certainly a unique team. Ryan seems to have, he's one of the people who you look at it, he seems to have kind of a fuck it attitude with some picks, but then there are times where he can just like pull it out randomly.
I mean, he's been smart with the Dakota Kai pick, but why he didn't do that first round, I'm baffled at. Because, I mean, why choose The Miz as a first round pick when he's basically scoring 3 points and yet he's captain Dakota Kai, who should have been, I argue, should have been first round? Like, he would have opened up another opportunity maybe to swab, to snatch maybe potentially Io Sky if Jack stuck with his picks of Lashley and Gunther. So I think Ryan's definitely missed a trick there. He was quite smart with the Montez Ford pick, and with regards to his AEW picks, it doesn't exactly light the world on fire, shall we say.
Yeah,
I think... Anna Jay, you know, is interesting. I mean, she's a lower round pick, so I'm not that against it. I think also by that point, a lot of major picks across both brands have maybe been, across both light companies have maybe been taken. But, you know, she may be appearing regularly as part of the GES and maybe getting some wins on, like, Rampage alongside, you know, our pal Ty Conti in the women's division, and maybe build her up as a heel challenger for Thunder Rosa at some point, because they need new challengers in the AEW women's division. The Acclaimed, I think he's just going off the kind of the increase in popularity now that they've properly had a breakout, you know, feud with the Ass Boys, and maybe they'll be built up as tag team, you know, type of competitors. But, you know, I think if the Acclaimed are as popular, you really need to capitalize on that. So, you know, Ryan, you know, we've seen in the past, Ryan likes to take risks, didn't he? Sometimes they pay off, sometimes you don't, and you get an induced share situation. But, you know, I can see he's being. Danhausen, I can't believe Danhausen is in this draft and Grant McRobbie wasn't the one to pick him. Sorry, Ryan, what were you going to say?
I've actually now forgotten. No, I don't have to say much more about the cat, but the quarter, it's already kind of covered that. It kind of goes over Io Sky. I got it right that time. I do think going for Montez after it, you can definitely tell Ryan was like preying on tag teams. But preyed on tag teams that much, he then forgot to pick a decent one.
I know, like the Street Profits were clearly available if Montez was available. So why didn't you draft Street Profits? But again,
if only I did pick two of the good choices.
if the Street Profits then end up breaking up, then we'd then be kind of be slagging him a wee bit because all your tag teams broken up. So maybe he's confident that there's a Street Profits breakup coming at some point that he wants to take Montez as a single, because out of both of them, like, for a long time, fans seemingly have been picking Montez as like the breakout star of those two.
Oh yeah, I think that's very quite clear that if there is a breakup, even to don't, I think Montez will score better than Angelo anyway.
Yeah, so again, so you need him, especially for so late in the draft selection process, given that he was so close to the snake draft, and you know, he was just before this man, Jack Gray, and the man who we're going to talk about last, the man who couldn't be enough to be here with his team. The team that's brought him in first place, you know, like you said, Lashley and Gunther, both his successful title defenses. Will his success continue when Lashley defends against AJ this week on Raw? We'll see. Mandy Rose again, someone else is going to have title match next week, defending our NXT Women's title. He's got quite a few champions. He's also got Katana champs and Caden Carter, the new women's tag team champions. Women's tag champs, you know, they can be hit or miss, so we'll see how that goes, especially the NXT ones. They always haven't always been the biggest scorers. He also has Asuka, who I think my thoughts on her, you can see my thoughts on Alexa Bliss, and basically they'll be very similar. Although I think she's more likely, if like Bianca takes a break from the title, from the main title, after maybe losing it to Bayley, that I could see them revisiting an Asuka Bayley feud for the title, with Bayley to heel and Asuka as the face. And finally, he's got Edge. Edge screams kind of first last round pick, because, you know, again, you can never tell if he's going to be a more regular guy or just part time. I mean, he's been more regular since the Judgment Day started, and then he took that break. Now he's back, and seemingly he's popping up weekly to try and take it the Judgment Day. But I don't see the Judgment Day lasting like the whole of the season. So once that's over, I don't know what's next for Edge in terms of, you know, on-screen programs.
Yeah, I don't see him much on television after that program. I think most of these points are definitely going to be the three champions.
Yeah.
Which was first. I think Mandy will retain. If she does retain, it's a great show for Jack. I think Gunther and Bobby are going to be defending champions as well from the way they're booking them. So this is brilliant for Jack, the wee rat bastard.
I like this team on paper. Like, I think this has got a very, very good chance of finishing top again. And Lord Almighty, we could be looking at a potential four-time champion here. In single seasons as well. From last place as well. Nobody's ever won from last place. But then again, nobody's ever won from first either. So, I mean, it's always somewhere in the middle. Yeah, Lashley and Gunther's regular title defenses are going to be Jack's saving grace, especially Bobby Lashley as his team captain. Like, it definitely sounds like the US Open format's coming back, and this is going to be huge for Jack. Mandy Rose and Carter and Chance, you know, them. Mandy Rose still continuing her solid run as women's champion. King Carter and Katana are finally getting their dues as women's tag champions. As long as they get showcased more often, they could be a dark horse for big scorers this season. Asuka and Edge, again, bit up in the air, but they're in big programs at the minute, both of them. So as long as he gets the appearance points there in what's a short season, I think Jack could potentially hit a home run here.
I think it's a great team. I don't know if it's a winner, though, but I think it's a great team nonetheless.
I have to say, though, I mean, out of all the teams I've seen so far, this one looks most likely to win.
I suppose I don't think any team really blows me away, but I also think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Keeps you guessing.
Yeah.
Yes, every team is similarly adequate. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But everybody's in one tier, and then it's my team at the bottom.
I mean, there's a couple of teams I'm looking at here, and I'm thinking, what the hell are these people thinking? And I've got others, I think, you know what? There's potential.
Yeah.
Nobody seemed to have made a firm decision, like, one way or other, who they thought's the strongest team so far. So I'm going to force these two, because we're going to do our usual here. You've got three picks here. Who's, just on paper, looking at their teams and like how the season started off, who's winning the season, who's going to come dead last, and who's going to be like the surprise, who's going to surprise everybody about how they perform, or will they perform this season? We'll start with you, Dave, since you're not going to be, but you seem to know so fucking much.
Mm-hmm. On paper, I think Jack's winning. Dead last, I think, is going to be Ryan Gallagher. And the surprise pick, I think, will be Dan.
Fair enough. Ryan, you share sentiments, or what's your thoughts?
I think the strongest team is Dan.
Mm. Okay.
I think the worst one is the other Ryan. And surprise, I'm going to go for Andy Mitchell.
Really?
Yeah. Which I think it might be a swing. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I can't say myself. So.
Yeah, like you could. I just try make sure people don't, because I think I've got one of the better teams, but I don't want to say that too much because it makes you sound like an arsehole, and people complain when we do that. Otherwise, but you know, shut up, people. I'm between two people. You've already, one of them was Ryan for all who will come last. So I won't say Ryan. I'll actually say Andy Mitchell will maybe come last this season. Who's going to win? If I can't say myself, I'll say maybe, I think Jack is in with a share, as much as it pains me to say that. It pains me to say that Jack or Dan will win this season. And surprise, I'm going to say Grant McRae, because I think AEW seems to be consistently trying to stack every Rampage and Dynamite. And the fact they've got two pay-per-views coming up this season, I think, despite the lack of WWE representation, every so often we'll suddenly see Grant just surge up the table, because a couple of his picks were in like major title matches and now like a Dynamite or Rampage, and that will like keep him in consideration in the top half of the table for a good portion of the season. So that's my thoughts. But what are your thoughts? Please let us know, rather than keeping them to yourself, because no one can keep their opinions to themselves anymore, it seems. Let us know on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Suplex. Let us know on the Facebook community page. And there on the Facebook community page, where you can get involved in the show, where you can get involved in the Listeners League and get regularly slagged off on this show by us, rightfully so, if you're as stupid as Adam Callie is. But we thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with our regular two-man rotation, as we're on the road to Clash at the Castle, AEW All Out, and whatever this rumoured upcoming NXT, not a takeover, is going to be called coming up. So a lot to look forward to, a lot to delve into. There's still a lot that we don't really know about this season, so we've done our best to really just quite a speculation. We hope you enjoyed our speculation, and we look forward to what's got to come in season 14. This is usually a very exciting period, I think. There's so much crammed into a short space of time, but I thank my panel for joining me. Thank you to No Longer a Work Experience by Ryan Dalglish.
It's been absolutely superb, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. And thank you to sitting up on his high horse, despite not competing, Mr. Country Club, David Hockney.
Oh, it's good to be back.
And thank you, Jack Graham, for not showing up for work. I've been Scott McLeod.
And for pulling out.
Wink, wink, nice touch. I'm Scott McLeod. And we'll see you next time.
See you later. Sports Social Podcast
Network. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.